me invite you over to the book of Luke this morning, chapter 22 and verse 61. Luke chapter 22, verse 61. Luke chapter 22, verse 61 reads this way. It says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, for the knowledge of knowing that where two or three are gathered together, that you are in our midst. And so we ask the blessing, Lord, your blessing, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit would guide us into truth and that we would understand more about what you've given to us in salvation. Bless the service, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Converted from Self to Christ. Converted from self to Christ. And that is a conversion that must take place in the life of every believer. And if you'll take note, I think you'll notice that throughout all the scriptures, those that were used of the Lord came to a place where there was a conversion that took place from self to Christ. Now, I want to stop and qualify that for a moment here, and that we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about a spiritual conversion. Salvation is one thing, and that's where it all begins. I don't want to undermine that or count it of little esteem by any means. That's where it all begins. But we all know how that takes place, and that happens by the grace of God alone. By the grace of God alone. There are other people or religions, man-made, that teach a different doctrine, that they have something to do with it. That's not the case. But we're going to look at a truth this morning that I think is going to be a revelation to the heart of the child of God that is wanting to experience the power and grace of God. And as was sung just a moment ago here about in the times of difficulty, being able to rise up as wings of eagles to go above and to soar, not just to get above the trouble, but to soar above the trouble. That is the work of God in the life of the individual, in the life of the believer. And God wants, here's the good truth, God wants every child of God to experience that. What was the purpose of God in creating the world and everything in it? Do you know what it was? The glory of God. Amen? Was it not to glorify himself? What was the purpose in God redeeming mankind? The glory of God. So if you're here and you've been saved, it is God's will, it is God's purpose that you experience the glory of God. Well, what does that mean? That means a converted life, not in our strength, but in God's power. I hope you're of this opinion. If I am failing and falling into sin, that is a problem. I hope we don't find comfort in that and say, well, I'm under grace anyway, and it doesn't matter. I hope that's not the case, because you'll never get that out of the Word of God, that the child of God is to be complacent concerning what God is doing or not doing in the life of the individual believer. And so, listen, if you don't expect anything from God, you're not going to get it. If you don't call on God and ask Him, and let me just tell you this, you might as well just shut your mouth and not share anything with anybody if Christ is not displaying His grace and power in your life. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? I'm not trying to be unkind, but the world doesn't need another philosophy without power. The world doesn't need it. Your family doesn't need another word from God out of the Bible without a display of the grace of God in our lives. That's powerless. That's not what God wants. It amazes me. I've talked to some preachers before,
And I asked him the same question I asked you many moons ago, not too many moons ago, but some time ago. Can God enable you to go without sin for 1 week? And you remember, can you live without sin for 1 week? And we all naturally say, oh, no, I'm a sinner. I know that. I'm a sinner. Can God enable you to go without sin for 1 day? Oh, my. No, I don't think so. And then I think I brought it down to 5 minutes. And we're so quick to go, no, I not even for 5 minutes. And then I said, and we had just finished the song service. I just started preaching. And I said, have you been sinning since we got here at church? See, this is the conversion that must take place from self and what I think to Christ and His grace. And listen, did God create the church to be without power? No. And by the way, we all know who the church is. You look at the church in the mirror. Did God intend us to be without power? See, we've got to get out of our thinking and into God's thinking and understanding that He might reveal to us His grace and power. Because otherwise, we have nothing to share. So I was telling you, I was talking with this preacher, pastor. Can God, no, I'm just a sinner. I said, wait a minute. Do you believe that God can save the drug addict? Let me ask you that question. Do you believe God can save the drug addict? What I mean by that is give them eternal life and allow them to overcome their drug addiction. You believe that?
Yes.
Can God empower or save or redeem the drunkard? Can God do that?
Yes. Yes.
How about the thief? Can God do that?
Yes.
How about the child of God? Can God do, see our thinking? Oh, yes. Listen, this preacher said, oh, yes, He could save the prostitute. He could save the drug dealer and the drug addict. But he can't keep you from sinning. Now, fathom this testimony. Ready? I'm talking to the prostitute and the drug addict. And God can save you. I'm a sinner. God can't help me overcome squat in my life, but He can save you. That's pretty dumb, isn't it? Walk down the road, keep it, don't share it. Because that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we are being transformed into whose likeness? Well, are we being transformed? That's the question. Does God want us to be transformed? Because if not, there's no light. God has not given to us an empty profession. And if it's empty, it's not God's fault. If it's empty, could it be that we've misunderstood something? Have we ever misunderstood something? Have we ever? I might be wrong, but I think wars have been started by misunderstandings. Possibly. But we have misunderstood some things. So we're looking at the life of Peter. Let me ask you this question. Ready? Did Peter misunderstand something? Was Peter saved at this point when he denied the Lord 3 times? Was he saved? Are you sure? Absolutely. Absolutely he was. Was he ready to follow Christ? No, he was not ready. Remember, Peter said, I'll follow you. The Lord said, no. The Lord said no, and he was saved, and he was not ready to follow the Lord. Why? Because he had not come to the end of himself and his thinking. And we're going to look at some important truths. We also, as God's children, are not ready to follow the Lord until God brings us, let me say that again, Until God brings us to the end of ourselves. Let me ask you this question this morning. Don't answer it out loud. Are you ready to allow God to bring you to the end of yourself that He might glorify Himself in your life? Are you ready to hear the Lord and the truth that he wants to reveal to us. We're going to look at four thoughts this morning. We're going to look at Peter, the devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. Was he devoted? Absolutely committed. He thought unto death. He thought. But he was committed. Let's just say that. Devoted. Peter, the life of self. Number three, Peter's repentance. And number four, what Christ made of Peter. Hear me clearly. By the Holy Spirit. Listen, do you know who the executor is who carries things out in the triune God? You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do you know who executes everything? Huh? What moved over the earth? Oh my goodness, isn't that amazing? And I am afraid that we as believers in this day and age have counted almost to nothing or very little the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why our lives are a mess. I said ours. I'll just say my life is not what it could be by the grace of God. Now, it's not that I'm not experiencing the grace of God, but it's not what it could be, or what I should say, what God wants it to be. So let's look at a couple of things here as we consider this. And let me just call your attention. You're right here in the book of Luke, verse 31. You're in chapter 22. Look at verse 31, and you're going to find this amazing. And here's Peter. He's committed. He's devoted. Verse 31 says this: "The Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." Isn't that good? "And when thou art converted..." Wait a minute, is Peter saved? Yeah, he's saved. So where's the conversion? From self to Christ. There's no conversion there. It hadn't happened yet. So he says, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And let me ask you a question. When he preached at Pentecost, did he strengthen the brethren? How about when the man who was lame from his mother's womb, in the name of the Lord Jesus, when he told him, "Rise up and walk," leaping and praising, did he strengthen the brethren when they saw that by the grace of God? But watch where he's at right now. Ready? Verse 33. "And he said unto him, Lord..." He didn't really say it that way. But you know, in his heart he did. In his heart he was... Because he didn't listen to the Lord. "I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." At least he understood what the Lord was talking about, that prison and death were involved. Was he ready to go? Question to you, was he ready to go? Not even a little bit. He thought he was. He thought, but see, he got everything backwards. Where is he at in his heart and in his mind? What is taking place in his... He loved the Lord just like you and I do. But he did not understand the power of the Holy Spirit, and he did not understand not leaning to his own understanding. And I want you to know, I want you to see this morning, you're going to see it. He was in and out of the working of God in his life. He was in and out of the working of God in his life. He was seeing glimpses of the work of God, and he'd go right out of it. He would go into seeing God work, and he would go right out of it. And that's where every child of God is at until there is a conversion from self to Christ. We will weave in and out of the working of God. And the reason why we weave in and out is because we're still full of self, and we don't understand how to crucify it, and we don't understand the work of God, but we do have the grace of God, and God is faithful even when we're not. And praise God for that. And I do. All right. He says, verse 34, and he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Did you get that? Peter did not like to hear that. Just like that preacher did not like to hear that Christ could give him the victory. Because in a natural realm, he said, there's no way I could do that. And he's right. There's no way any one of us could do that. And until we are converted from our thinking and what we can do, we will never experience what God wants to do and can do in the life of every believer. God did not redeem us to leave us where we're at. And until we get that out of our thinking, we are all in the same place, and at least have been in the same place where Peter is at right now at this time. So, Peter's character was full of failure. Can we say amen to that? But what Christ made him by the power of the Holy Ghost was something completely different. And that gives everybody in this room, beginning with myself, hope of the grace of God, if we'll have it. So I want you to hold your place right here. And I want you to see, as we consider Peter who was devoted, let's look at the devoted disciple Peter, right? You remember Peter, he was a man who was devoted to the Lord. He was ready for submission. And Luke, you're right here in the book of Luke. You don't have to go back there. Luke chapter 5, and he tells him, he says, okay, Peter, remember you were fishing all night. You remember I asked you to thrust out a little bit from the shore so that I can preach the message, and now I'm going to ask you to go out to the deep. Did he go? He did go. So let's just say, Peter, at the very least, he was devoted just like you and I are. How do I know you're devoted? You're here this morning. You're devoted to the Lord. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind, nor in the mind of God, that you love him. But that does not mean that you are yielded, that we are yielded to him. And that does not mean that we have been converted in our hearts and minds. Know this, listen, this is not undermining anybody at any level at all in their relationship with the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind every believer has to go through this conversion or they won't get it. Let's look at the father of the Hebrew people of faith, the friend of God. He did not understand it when God said, you're going to have a child. And they got a wonderful idea with Hagar that was wrong. And you can just see that throughout all the scriptures, how many people had gotten it wrong because of the wrong kind of thinking. And by the way, that is something that must be taken care of. In other words, we have to see the importance of God's involvement in our life in seeking him so that we can experience that involvement, because we can be a man after God's own heart and then commit an atrocity like David did with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah, had him killed. And he was a man after God's own heart. He had neglected the seeking of God for a time and was not where he was supposed to be. And when we're not where we're supposed to be in the Word of God and seeking God in the house of God, it's going to happen to us. We're not invincible without the Lord. So here we see this situation. And let me just share this with you. When the Lord asked Peter to follow him, in fact, let's go over there real quick. Matthew chapter 19, I want you to see this. This is when he was talking about following the Lord and what the Lord will do as they follow him, what God is doing as we follow him, and some of the things that were an impossibility. And they said, well, who then can be saved? And at the end of verse 25, verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter, verse 27, and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And they did. Did they not forsake their businesses? They did. They were fishermen. They forsook their business and they followed the Lord. Listen, God wants us to be real. Let's really look at this. They made a sacrifice in following the Lord, and the Lord knew it, but they were still clinging to their own thinking. And we're going to see this unfold here. So Peter, the devoted disciple, he was devoted to the Lord, and he was ready to submit, was he not? He was ready to submit. So not only that, but Peter was a man of great faith. Can we say that about Peter? Do you remember it was Peter, when the Lord was walking on the water, that he said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come. Come on, that's which one of us would have got that in our heads, right? And I don't think Peter was out of his head when he did that. And the Lord said, come. He said, you want to experience walking on the water? And he did. not very far, but he did, right? He walked on the water and had an experience that none of the other disciples that I can see had with the Lord. So let's just say this, he was a man of great faith. Not only that, but he was a man of great spiritual insight. Now, we know it was the Lord that did this, but I want you to see something here. Back up here in Matthew. Look at chapter 16 for a moment with me, and look at verse 15. Remember, here's where the Lord is talking to the disciples, and he's asking them, who do men say that I am? And then he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? In verse 15, Matthew 16, 15, and verse 16, and Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was that the truth? Did that come out of the lips and the mouth of Peter? Okay, and notice what the Lord says to him right there. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He had a direct line. Is it possible for you and I to get revelations and still have not come to the end of ourselves? Yes, it just happened in Peter's life. And the Lord later on tells him, remember when he's getting ready to go to the cross, you got to wait till you're converted. And what was that conversion? That conversion was from relying on yourself until you understand that you need to rely on the Lord and the power of His Spirit. So, a little bit further on, the Lord calls him the rock man. The little rock man, but nonetheless, the rock man. That's a good testimony from the mouth of God. I'm going to call you the little rock. So now, as we consider this man who was a believer, who was a devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am convinced, just like everybody else in this room is, to one degree or another, I believe you're devoted to the Lord or you would not be here. This is a beautiful sunny day. And is the world in God's house today? No, because they're not devoted to the Lord. Are God's people in God's house? Yeah, I think they are, don't you? And if not, if no one else, at least our membership is here. And so he was devoted, but now we want to look at, just for a moment, as you're right here in Matthew chapter 16, the life of self. Peter was still living a life of self, and he was not ready to completely yield to the Lord. And that's our problem. Completely yield to the Lord. Does the Lord believe that he can deliver you from sin? Does the Lord believe that your life here on this side of eternity can be transformed to his likeness? We don't always believe that, do we? That's just the truth. We don't really believe that. In fact, we approach the Lord in our heads. Oh, we've got a heart for God, but when it comes to what God wants to do in our lives, don't confess it, but just tell me if you've not at least thought it, I'll never be able to overcome whatever it might be. This will always drag me down. That's not in God's vocabulary. It's in only in ours, and it's right up here. And we don't have the witness that God wants us to have. All right. So with that said, you're right here in the book of Matthew. He's living a life of self. And look at verse 21. You're right here in 16. Look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. This is Matthew 16, verse 21, verse 22. Then Peter took him, and it was not to hug him, but he did take him. He took him. He's in his hands. With all genuine compassion, my Savior, my Redeemer, took him, and I think he probably by the arms, looking at Jesus right in his face. Peter, verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Rebuking God. That'll get you far, won't it? You know why he rebuked God? Because he was still thinking in self. Saying, be it far from thee. this shall not be unto thee. I believe he meant that in all sincerity, don't you? Out of love even. But it was a natural love. Not the love of God that gave us his son. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now just a moment ago, he just, by the revelation of the Father, said to the Lord that he was the Son of God. In the next breath here, he says, get thee behind me, Satan, the Lord to Peter. For thou art, he says, thou art an offense unto me. He's offensive to the Lord. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. Told him why he was offensive. We can be offensive to the Lord too. You ever thought about that? I didn't say he didn't love us or stopped. Or did it even diminish one iota. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Those that be of men. Those that be of self. Those that be of self. And so, he just straightened him out. He says, you're thinking about yourself. Then he says this. Ready? Then said Jesus unto his disciples. This is a lesson now. Jesus is getting ready to give an important lesson. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Did Peter want to come after him? Absolutely. Here's the lesson, Peter. Let him deny self. Himself. Deny self. Got to deny yourself. Peter, you were just full of self. What you just said was all of yourself. You've got to deny yourself. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He knew nothing about that yet. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And that's what he was trying to do for the Lord. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, shall find it. Whosoever will lose his life or himself and their way of thinking for God's, you're going to find life in Christ. Now, I want to remind you, the Lord is not talking to lost people. He's talking to Peter and the other disciples who had salvation, eternal life, just like you and I have. But the Lord was redirecting them. This was after salvation. The Lord is redirecting you and I. Don't raise your hand. Do you have a problem with self? Smiles. Yep. That's us. Well, listen, you're in good company because God wants to deal with it. He wants you to enjoy what he's given to you. So now we have Peter with a life of self here, second thought. And so where is he going around? What's happening? Not only this, but listen, let me show you this life full of self. Go back over to the book of Luke. You're going to be amazed at this. Chapter 22, where we were at. Now remember, this is where we were at, where the Lord told them, and by the way, Peter's in this group, where the Lord told them that Satan is, he wants to sift you like wheat. I'm praying with you. You know, we're going to keep you from falling. Peter says, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die, go to prison, you name it. Now, in this same chapter, he couldn't see this. We can't either until the Lord reveals it. But back up with me here to Luke chapter 22, let's look at verse 24. And there was also a conversation among them about the Lord's grace and glory. Is that what your Bible says? Remember, this is just before he's getting ready to deny the Lord. And there was also a strife among them, the disciples, the spiritual ones. No, the ones full of self. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Man, if we're not full of self. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them that are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is the chief as he that doth serve. Did not the Lord say, that's how I've come? I've come to serve. You know why? Because he's in the Spirit. See, and we're ready to tell everybody how to do something. That's not a servant. Or the spirit of a servant. And this is Peter, who was in this company, and he, no doubt he was chiming in there too. Now, wait a minute. I left more than you all. Remember, I was a business owner. You guys were just partners. If it wasn't for me, you'd have been in the Spirit, Peter, if it wasn't for you. You know, what was the problem with Lucifer? Do you remember Lucifer? He was the angel of God. Huh? What did he want to do that caused him problem? He wanted to exalt himself. Self. He wanted to exalt himself. Became the devil then, didn't he? Oh, there was Adam and Eve. Eve wanted something for herself. And if we want things for ourselves, it shows us who's in control. We're not ready yet. Self is still reigning and ruling. And self is what will keep us from the grace and power of God's grace in our lives. Very quickly, we'll see Peter's repentance. And we'll go to the book of John for this for a moment. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 21, verse 15. Peter's repentance. The Lord has resurrected here. And notice what happens here, verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, remember they are out there fishing, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Some speculate he could be pointing to the fishers because he went back fishing. Some speculate maybe he was pointing to the disciples. Maybe the fishers more likely, because remember, he went back fishing. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Peter loved the Lord just like you and I do. But there was a place of repentance that needed. Now listen, you know why the difference was made? You know what brought Peter to the end? He wept bitterly. Until you and I weep bitterly over ourselves, there's no repentance. Do you love the Lord? Yep, but not like we could. When self is in the way. When we can love Christ, yielded to the Spirit, we will love Him like never before. And we will experience the love and grace of God in our lives like never before. In a transforming way. But now, don't answer this question. Is there something in the back of your mind, boy, that all sounds good, but that's just not going to work, that self? Now, I hear what you're saying. It's in the Word of God, but I don't believe it. But Peter repented, didn't he? Three times. And then lastly, we'll see, go over the book of 1 Peter and listen to a man who had been converted from self to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll just look at the quickly, and I won't comment here very much on this portion of Scripture. 1 Peter 1:1. And then I would challenge you to read the whole book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear him talk about suffering. He didn't understand any of that. No, Lord, no suffering for you or me. You know, Lord, that can never be. And now he's talking about, yes, the suffering in us that can only be revealed by the grace of God. So look at verse 1 and see what Christ made of Peter by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the sanctification, you'll see, was of the Spirit. Look at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. He's got understanding. Look, it's just rolling off of him because it's God. The Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. He understands sanctification of the Spirit now. He's experienced it. God wants us to experience it too. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Question, does Peter have peace multiplied to him now like never before? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, which according to his abundant mercy, see that self's out of the way, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you think he glories in the resurrection? Yeah. And by the way, did you see what Peter just said there? He's begotten us again. You and me, he's saying, have been begotten the same way. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. That's what we've been given. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Do you think he understands now about being kept by the power of God? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He understands temptations and how to go through them now. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So gold perishes, but not our faith. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We're saved, but he's saying you're receiving this. This is something that is continually being received on a daily basis, just as he had it. See, he thought when Jesus called him, he was all ready to go. And God says, no, you're full of self. Until that's taken out of the way, you will never be able to serve me in weakness. It must be by the Lord's power and grace, or it will never happen. So this morning, God wants you and I to understand where the grace of God is at and can be had in your life and mine, every day. And how often every day? Just every 4 hours? How often every day? Once an hour? Or all the time throughout the day? Do we believe that? And if we would say, yes, God, show me that. You'll honor God. God, that you might reveal to me. And then, Lord, I believe, and I want to believe, but I need your help with my unbelief. And God says, come. Amen? The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand? As we prepare for invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you reveal to us through your word. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in my life and in the life of Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches, but specifically, Lord, for our people, that we would not be reliant or dependent on or leaning on self, but that we would look to you in the power of the Holy Spirit that you've given to us and equipped us with, that we might have your strength and power for your glory and honor and our blessing and the testimony that you want us to have. Meet each need. Speak to each heart. God, may you do a work as only you can in our lives for your glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.